Who this morning is in pain now? Raise your hands if you're in pain. You are. Anybody else? You are. You are. Okay. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now that you administer to them one of your pain pills. I pray, Father, that you touch their bodies. And as I teach, as we continue on with the service, that the pain will continue to go down so that when it comes time to pray for them later, pain won't be one of the things we'll be praying for. Father, I pray that you touch and heal their pain, lessen their pain this morning as a sign of what you're going to do here in the way of healing our bodies. And I pray that in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want to teach this morning about the five kinds of healing. I'm hoping that I can describe to you the various things that make us sick and then the five kinds of healing so that you can get an idea of where the Lord wants to touch you today. I'm going to describe hopefully how some of these things interact, what kinds of things might block our healing, and I also want to describe what you should look for this morning so you'll know how we should be praying for you. As we receive communion, Debbie and I and possibly others are going to be praying, and I believe God is going to do some great things today, but we want to focus on what God wants to do. I'm hoping today that the Holy Spirit will show you one issue that He wants to either do in your life or at least start in your life. And I'm hoping that if there are any blocks to healing in your life, He's going to show you that as well. You know, one of the things that kind of both confuses me and flusters me is why in the world is the modern church preaching a sterile gospel? We're trying to preach the good news without healing, without casting out devils, without any of the signs and wonders. To me, it's like a platonic marriage. As far as I'm concerned, by definition, you can't have a platonic marriage, okay? When Jesus proclaimed the gospel, he said, "Let me tell you that the kingdom of God is here and you can be part of it." Okay, now, let me show you what it's like to be in the kingdom of God. And he went about healing people and setting people free from all kinds of illness and troubles and sickness. And then he said, "Disciples, I want you guys to learn how to do this too. I'm going to delegate my authority to do this to you. That's how I want you to proclaim the gospel." You proclaim the gospel by healing the sick, casting out devils. Matter of fact, St. Francis of Assisi said, "Wherever you go, preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words." Now, a lot of folks have interpreted that, well, you know, we just have such a life of love and peace that people can just see Jesus in our faces wherever we go. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when you preach the gospel, we're talking about setting people free. We're talking about letting God do the kinds of things that he loves to do in our lives. And we need to allow God to do that. We need to put ourselves in a place that he can demonstrate the kingdom of God to those around us. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 5. We pick this up in the middle of a story here. The disciples of John the Baptist have come to Jesus. John sent them. You need to go find out if this really, 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 really is the anointed one, the Messiah. And so they ask him, and this is what Jesus says. "Go back and report to John what you see and what you hear. Tell him that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and that the poor have the gospel proclaimed them." Jesus said, if you'll just tell John these things are happening, he'll know I'm Messiah. When we bring those kinds of things into people's lives around us, into the lives of our neighbors and our friends, they know that Messiah is with us. They know that the kingdom of God is here. And if you look then in Acts 4, this is kind of a backhanded way of us seeing that the disciples continued this ministry. I mean, we see pictures of stories in the book of Acts of people being healed at the shadow of Peter and from claws off of Paul and things like that. But listen, this is the first few days of the church. This is what's going on. They're getting persecuted for what they're doing. And then in Acts 4:29, they're praying to God about this persecution. Listen to what they say. "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of Jesus Christ." They expected signs and wonders to take place around them. They didn't preach a sterile gospel. God does not want us preaching a sterile gospel. He wants us walking in freedom. God wants to set us free from sickness, from emotional trauma, from demonic activity, from addictions, you name it. God wants to heal us. And so that brings us to the five kinds of healing. One of these areas of healing is going to be where the Lord wants to start with you today. This is like one of those phone menus. You know, you call up and it's press 1 to hear our address and phone number. Press 2 to hear your balance. Press 3 to hear the last 5 transactions. You know, that kind of thing. This morning, listen. Press 1 for spiritual healing. Press 2 for physical healing. Press 3 for mental healing or emotional healing. We're going to talk about the five kinds of healing, and I want the Holy Spirit to deal with you about where He wants to start in your life. You know, we can't boil the ocean today, okay? But we can let the Lord lead us to a place where He wants to start. We're like an onion. You peel one layer off, there's another layer underneath there. So don't worry if you've been healed of something else. There's still some work that God wants to do in your life. He's certainly working that way with me. And He's here today to do supernatural things. And what I'm hoping to do is just teach you a little practical teaching to act as a guide for how He can work with us this morning. The first type of healing is spiritual healing. And this is the simplest form of healing, and it is simply God forgiving us of our sins. Sometimes we talk about it as being born again. This is always the place that we start, where God starts the healing process in our lives. He forgives us. He makes us clean. Turn to James chapter 5. After we are born again, sometimes we still need some forgiveness. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 14, James writes, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." And then listen to this. "And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven." Forgiving sins and healing is all part of the same package. In verse 16, he goes on to say, "Therefore," see, connecting. He's connecting these things. If they've committed sins, they, "therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." There may be sickness or captivity of some kind in your life, and the first step to getting set free is you sit down with Father Phil and you have a time of confession so that you can be spiritually healed to begin with. Now, sometimes spiritual healing can also involve healing us from sins. I know that if you're like me, you have things in your life that you deal with over and over and over again. And you do it, and you know it's wrong, and then you repent, and then you're never going to do that again until tomorrow or next week or next month. Paul talked about this. What in the world is wrong with me that I can't ever seem to do what I know is right? And sometimes we just get to the place where we're kind of beyond repenting and asking for forgiveness. I mean, God, how are we going to deal with it? You may need healing to help get victory over that sinful behavior. Turn to Mark 11. You also may need spiritual healing so that you can forgive. You may need God to give you a special grace so that you can forgive others. Unforgiveness is a huge block in healing. And in Mark 11:24, Jesus is telling the disciples, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you will have them and receive them, and they shall be granted to you. And," connecting again, "whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions." If we are unwilling to forgive, God is unable to forgive us. I prayed for a woman a few days ago who had been in an automobile accident several years ago. She had several injuries. One of the injuries that was lingering that was left was her right knee. The kneecap had been removed as part of the surgery recovery from this accident, and it had been giving her pain for years. Now, Debbie and I prayed for a guy that was in a motorcycle accident not too long before that, that had had his kneecap surgically removed, and God healed that man and restored his kneecaps. He came in on crutches, and he walked out without the crutches. God, a doctor examined him and said, "Yep, there are kneecaps there now." We start talking to this woman about that. The Holy Spirit says that she's harboring unforgiveness. We start talking about that, and she doesn't want to talk about that. No, I'm okay. No, let's not go there. Well, you know what? When she left that place, she left with the same knee problem she had when she got there, because she was holding unforgiveness. And the Lord said, she needs spiritual healing first before I can get to the physical healing that she needs. Which brings up healing type number two, physical healing. Broken leg, asthma, hernia, fibromyalgia, car air conditioner. I remember Debbie and I prayed, I don't know how many cars, Lord's healed them in some way or another. The first time we did that, living in Houston, middle of the summer, air conditioner quits working. Debbie says, let's just pray over the car. And I'm going, oh, yeah, sure. Well, we do it anyway, right? Even though I'm not sure that that's going to work. We pray over the car. The next day, Debbie needs to go somewhere. She gets in the car. She gets back and she says, wow, the air conditioner's working. That was great. And I thought, oh, good. Maybe it was just a temporary thing. It's fixed now. But I get in the car the next day, and the air conditioner's not working. Because I am certain that God can't heal air conditioners, you see. Well, after a few times of every time she got in the car, the air conditioner worked, and every time I got in the car, it didn't. It dawned on me, there's a faith factor here that's involved. I just need to accept that the fact that the Lord has healed this car. And sure enough, the air conditioner started working for me, too, and then anybody else. We eventually gave the car away. And as far as I know, it was driven into the ground with that air conditioner still working. But God heals our bodies, too. One of the guys in our prayer group, something came on him. It was something in his feet. He has no idea what it was. And for a few days, he was in excruciating pain anytime he'd put any weight at all on his feet. He was quite miserable. And so on Tuesday night, we were going to have home group. I call him. Nope, can't be there. I can't walk at all. My feet hurt too bad. Pray for me. Okay. Wednesday morning, I get a phone call from Bruce. Did you guys pray for me last night? Well, of course, Bruce, we prayed for you last night. Boy, let me tell you, God healed my feet. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I was dreading it because I knew how much it was going to hurt for me to walk to the bathroom. He said, I got about halfway to the bathroom and realized, man, my feet aren't hurting at all. He said, I'm well. This is great. Thanks for praying. Physical healing is something that, again, all of us at different times may or may not need, you know, but some of us eventually will need some of that. Number three is emotional healing. Some have called this inner healing. Like, for instance, your parents got divorced when you were a child. You blamed yourself. You were sexually molested as a child or abused. You're going through some great grief. You're going through abandonment. Some kind of emotional trauma in your life is stuck and needs to be healed. And, you know, these kind of things have a way of festering in our lives. They have a way of causing trouble in other areas of our life, this baggage that we carry around with us. Things happen in our lives, and God needs to be able to heal us. Usually, inner healing or emotional healing is about finding out where we have believed a lie and carried a lie with us. Like, for instance, the 7-year-old who is certain that when their parents got a divorce when they were 7, it was their fault. Somehow, it was their fault. This is typical of what children think. When they grow older then, they're continuing to carry that lie. They are certain it was their fault. They are certain they're a marriage destroyer. And sure enough, they start having trouble in their marriage, and they don't know why. God, in inner healing, often has to help folks see where they have believed a lie, see that it is a lie, so that it can be displaced with the truth. That's why Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But it only makes you free if you can accept it as the truth. I counsel with a woman who had an issue like this with her mother. I know none of us have issues with our mothers here, but this lady did. And her mother criticized her all the time, never had anything good to say about her. When she was a little girl, she asked her mother, am I pretty like so-and-so, my cousin? And her mother says, well, you're clean. Her biscuits weren't right. Her housekeeping wasn't right. I mean, you know, nothing she could do was okay in her mother's eyes. And so after 40 or 50 years of living under this kind of criticism, she was just kind of bowed down and depressed and had all kinds of issues and problems in her life. We began to pray over these things. I began to help her understand, you need to let the Holy Spirit go back with you to some of those early encounters with your mother when you were a little girl. Start praying about that. Let the Holy Spirit go with you to show you those situations through His eyes. You're seeing them and remembering them through the eyes of a little girl. You need to see them through the eyes of Jesus and see how He sees it differently. And so we started praying that way. She started letting the Lord deal and lead with her like that. And pretty soon she said, you know what? The Lord showed me a scene where my mother was berating me when I was a little girl. And I was certain that that was because she didn't love me. And she didn't want me around. And I thought she wanted to get rid of me. But she said, the Lord began to talk to me about all the stories I had heard about how my mother was treated when she was a girl and how truly nobody wanted her. And she was just essentially kind of abandoned and left to raise herself. And mother realized she just doesn't have the capability, the capacity to love me the way I want to be loved. She realized it was a lie that mother didn't want me. Oh, she wanted me a lot. That's why she criticized me so much. It was her backhanded way of saying, I love you, because she was so damaged herself. And so anyway, that woman then was able to allow God to heal her and go on from that. The fourth kind of healing is what I call healing from guilt and shame, or to me, it's a healing of memories. I know some people call inner healing that, but this is really a little bit different. This is about destructive habits. This is about mistakes that you've made in life that you can't seem to get over. This is about stupid things you have done that you can't seem to get away from, maybe even accusations that have been made against you or about you. And that kind of mistake or stupid action or whatever it is often causes guilt and shame then to wrap itself around us. It literally prevents us from overcoming that bad behavior because we're stuck in a cycle of guilt and shame. And so when the Lord begins to heal us from guilt and shame, what he does is he takes us back to the places where the guilt and shame first started coming in, and he literally heals the guilt and shame out of our memories so that we can remember what happened. But we're not carrying the guilt, the emotion, and the overtone of guilt with that memory when we think about it. It's like the person who wants to diet and they can't stay on the diet. And so they'll diet for a while and then they'll eat too much. They'll get a box of Krispy Kremes and eat them all right then, you know. And then they feel guilty about that and they'll repent and they'll get back on the diet for 3 or 4 days. But the guilt and shame of those Krispy Kremes is still with them. And it makes them feel so bad that they want to cheat again. And then they cheat, and then they go back, and they just keep it in. It just becomes a vicious cycle of the, I can't diet, I'm a worthless, no good person because I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then, guess what? That causes them to indeed not be able to diet. And so God needs to break that cycle and heal that guilt and shame. The last category, the fifth category of healing, is deliverance. That's freedom from any kind of demonic activity or evil spirits. It can be in the form of ungodly appetites, not necessarily just food, uncontrollable impulses, inability to do what's right. It can also be depression. It can also be irrational fears or even rage and anger sometimes are there because of demonic activity. For this kind of healing, it's really a three-step process. The first thing is you have to identify the evil spirit that's at work so you know what you're dealing with. Second thing is you have to drive out that evil spirit by the authority of the name of Jesus. And then the third thing is you got to find out where that evil spirit came in so you can close the door to that so they can't come back. When I was a teenager, we lived in the country and we had an old house and we started having problems with mice. And my dad would put out some traps and catch the mice. He finally said one day, I think I have found out there's a couple of holes in the wall. I have found out where they're coming in. I'm going to close up those holes in the wall. And he did that. And for about 2 months after that, we lived with the smell of dead mouse in the house because he didn't make sure he had cleaned out all the mice before he closed up the hole. So anyway, you know, you got to get rid of the demonic activity and then you close up the hole so they can't come back. And sometimes that involves inner healing and those kind of things. Let's talk for a minute about the roots or the triggers to illness, what might cause you to need one of those five kinds of healing. You catch a cold, well, the cold virus is the trigger or the root to that, right? You need inner healing because you're having trouble in your marriage and you go back and discover that maybe the root to that is the fact that you were sexually abused as a child. And so that has caused some problems that you're now dealing with. So that would be the root for that. Or you're being oppressed by demons and you don't even remember the times as a teenager when you were playing with a Ouija board. And so some demonic activity was able to come in because of that. Everything that we need healing from has some kind of root, trigger, source, entrance point that we need to deal with. And often we need to understand those and deal with them as part of the process of being healing. One of the things that you could ask today, for instance, to help get an understanding of where to start praying this morning is if you're chronically depressed or you're very unhappy now, when's the last time you had a happy memory in your life? Or think about a memory that causes you to cringe or to feel embarrassed. That may be a good place to start. That may be an entrance point of some kind. Or a memory that causes you to feel sad, causes you to feel guilty, causes you to feel hurt, or a group of memories, the kind of things that just keep coming back. And oftentimes, those are great places to start. Matter of fact, as those scenes come to your mind today, bring them to us and let us pray over that, and let's see what God will do with those things. You know, if nothing comes to mind this morning, I'm going to pray over you that God will begin to give you dreams or let odors remind you of things, whatever it is, so that you can remember, seeing call to mind the things that need to be dealt with. You know, we're pretty good at burying some of the stuff in our life. The Lord has to let it bubble to the surface sometimes so we can deal with it. Matter of fact, there are several things that can block us from getting healed. We know that God wants us well. If you have any doubt about that at all, just start reading the Gospels and look at all the times that Jesus healed people. Matter of fact, if you have any doubt about that at all, think about your own self. When you get sick, what do? Man, you go to the doctor, you take some medicine, you pray. Something, you don't want to be sick. God didn't make us to want to be sick. God wants us well, number one. And number two, God has the power to make us well. So you have to ask the question, if God has the desire and the ability to respond positively to healing prayer, what prevents him from doing that at times? Well, sometimes because folks haven't prayed for healing. Have not because you ask not. Sometimes, like I said before, it's because of unforgiveness in our lives. It might be a wrong or a poor image of God. We are certain that God is that mean old man with a knotty club that's just waiting for a chance to knock us over the head sometimes. It might be a lie that we have believed somewhere along the way. Maybe it's just simply lack of faith or unbelief. I just can't believe God would do that. Sometimes it's demonic activity that's blocking our healing. Demons that have come in through unforgiveness, they've come in through trauma, they've come in through occult activity, they've come in through a deal with the devil. Devil, if you'll just get me out of middle school, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And you know, you pray that kind of a stupid prayer with some of your buddies, and you forget about it later, and it's causing problems. It's a block to your healing. We need to know about that and deal with it. Sometimes we're just not ready. There's something else going on. God may have a reason that he's waiting on, something that's going on with you. Sometimes some of our prayers are blocked because he's waiting on somebody else to do something. Maybe God can't get to your physical healing because he's waiting for you to receive some inner healing first. And so that's why we can't get too caught up about some of these things. We can't get too anxious or impatient. Let's just put ourselves in God's hands and let's see what he'll do with us. Let's see how he will deal with us and how he will lead us gently, but certainly toward a place of healing. Now, turn to Acts 28. Sometimes when I start talking about these kind of things, folks say, look, I don't want any of that psychobabble stuff. I just, you know, just pray for me and we don't need any of this psychology and psychiatry. That's all of the devil. That's New Age and et cetera. Look at Acts 28 and verse 27. We're in kind of in the middle of a prayer. He's quoting out of the Old Testament. For the heart of my people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they close their eyes. Now listen to this part. Lest they should see with their eyes, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Sometimes it's not enough just to be anointed with oil. Sometimes it's not enough just to be prayed for. Sometimes we need to see with our eyes. We need to understand with our hearts what's going on so that we can be healed. Sometimes healing takes place over a period of time. Debbie and I were in Scotland a year ago, and we were in a little home group, and one of the guys had caught a cold, and he was sniffling, had a handkerchief in front of his face. For the first time in my life, I saw God heal the common cold instantly. I don't mean the guy got well over a period of a day or an hour. I mean he got well instantly. That normally doesn't happen, but God can heal instantly. I've watched God do that. I've watched blind eyes open instantly as God's working with folks. But sometimes, like when Jesus, Mark 8, 22 through 26, that's a place where Jesus actually had to pray for somebody more than once for them to get healed. Luke 17, 12 through 19, this is the story of the 10 lepers, and it says that they were healed as they went. Sometimes it works that way. Debbie and I have a friend that back in December was on a horse. The horse threw her off the horse and hurt her back a lot. She was in severe pain, having a hard time moving around. We saw her at a Christmas party and took her off in a back room and anointed her with oil and prayed for her. And immediately, part of the pain went away, but not all of it did. They didn't have any medical insurance at the time. She couldn't go to the doctor, didn't know what was going on, but all she knew, she was still hurting. So we told her we will continue to pray for her. And so we continued to do that. Well, we saw her again a couple of nights ago. They work at the same company I work at. It was a company party. And, hey, Connie, how's your back? Oh, it's great. I haven't had any pain for months now. God healed her over a period of time. That's okay. You know, sometimes we need to go back for treatments. Okay, God, I'll just take my treatments one at a time. I'll soak in your presence. I'll sit with you. I'll let people pray over me, maybe over and over and over again, just like you'd go back to the doctor over and over again for treatments until you're well. That's okay. God does that sometimes. As I prayed about this service, I heard the Lord say that he would touch 100% of the people here today. Look at Acts 5. Now, Debbie and I have watched this happen before, where everybody that has been prayed for is touched in some way. But I want to show you a biblical example of this. Acts 5 and verse 16. And also the people from the cities and in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Not most of them being healed. They were all being healed. I'm not saying that every healing work that you might ever need in your life is all going to be finished today, okay? I'm saying that we're like onions, and you got a layer on top, and I need that taken care of now. The Lord peels that layer of onion off, and after a while, behold, you discover there's another layer down there, and you need more prayer at that time, and eventually he peels that off, and you never get to the center of the onion. But the Lord wants to at least start the healing process in every single one who is willing to humble themselves today, come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need something from you. Life beats us up. Life wounds us. We human beings need salves. We need balms. We need healing. Everyone needs some kind of healing. Probably some of us need all five kinds of healing. If you'll humble yourselves and come before the Lord now with an open and surrendered heart, he's going to peel away at least one layer of your onion, or he's at least going to start that process. He may heal you and touch you instantly. He may set you free from demonic oppression instantly, or he may at least start the process today. I don't know what it is, and it's really up to him as to what's going on. We're just his servants here to allow his love to flow through us. But I know this, that he wants to start that healing process in some area of every life here, and he will do that. I think we're going to see some that the healing process is more than started, maybe instantly heal, and we're going to see others where the healing process is started today and it will continue on. What we're going to do is, as soon as you receive communion, come back around in the front here somewhere. Debbie and I will be here, and we'll pray for you.